Hey there, welcome back to the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining along the program today. Whether you're listening over at PathToZion.com or following us on our YouTube channel, welcome to all the new subscribers we're gaining. Very thankful to have you along. Hopefully this will resonate with you today as well as we talk about what? The eclipse, the great American eclipse of 2024. And what I titled this one is The Prophetic Heavens Declare. And two things that you must do to prepare. Now, not all caps and, you know, where you're not going to see images with explosions and apocalyptic imagery. The prophetic heavens declare we will discuss is simply a Bible verse. and that's, it's just the scriptures. It's clinging to the word. And so we will get started here right away because there are likely thousands. Could it be into a million plus, perhaps, YouTube videos towards this eclipse right now? You could find a laundry list of opinion and warnings. So why in the world would we bother here? Well, this has, of course, been a discussion in our household. I'm interested. I'm always intrigued at the pulse of what people of faith are thinking towards a matter. And so, and of course, the world, even in rightful measure, of like, well, what are people saying? What are they looking for? What are they expecting? I am intrigued by those things. And cultural commentary is one of my favorite things I could get distracted with. But what I want to throw into the mix is going to be, from what I've seen anyway, a unique approach. Because you have some vantage points that are super hyped up and, you know, this is the end of the world. This is the kickoff of all these, you know, like I said, apocalyptic things. Others will say that it's just impossible for this eclipse, this sign in the heavens, to have any significance whatsoever, that we should only be focused on Bible prophecy, theology alone and throw out the heavens. I saw a gentleman say that word for word. This in opposition, really, to what I'm going to present today, he said, you know, the heavens don't have anything to do with theology. well, boy, would I disagree with that one. We'll know why here momentarily. But per usual, I don't align with either extreme pendulum camp. I'm not saying it just doesn't matter. It doesn't have any significance, and I'll explain why as we go along, and nor do I side with the group that is hyper-prophecy and everything is just about to just go down. I will admit from the very beginning, I started kind of this type of thinking really 20 years ago, really questioning pretty much everything and looking deep into matters of history, governments of men, kingdoms that rose and fell, and why they did so, and just different, what people would just call conspiracy theories if they don't ascribe to an alternate version of history that we've been handed. And so I can do that all day long. That is not what this is. I'm not interested. Let me put it this way. I am interested in it, but I don't do it anymore. I don't give myself to it. It's very consuming. I would rather study the word and like just allow it to define what I do, don't do. And it is my filter that I try to take all this mess of information and pour it into in increments that I can handle, okay? in maturity and in patience and just, you know, without all the hype and emotion. But because I don't fall into either camp, I had to ask, well, why would I talk about this? Well, because it's kind of on the hearts and minds of really pretty much anyone who's paying any lick of attention to anything, no matter what side you fall on. So here are just some of these things. We'll run through some of the happenings, goings-on that coincide with or are somehow integrated with the date specifically of the eclipse. So you've got the Olive and the Tav. If you take the path that crossed the U.S. in 2017 eclipse and you overlap it with the one that is here in mere days, there is this crossing, and there's these patterns and this and that, and it can form, you know, it can form some Hebrew letter looking patterns over the U.S. Yes, others say, well, let's just keep it simple. X marks the spot. Judgment's coming. I'm from Illinois, and so the X on the spot, if I remember right, is like within an hour of where I grew up. So that is a personal intrigue for me. The last eclipse, from what people have gathered, is it crossed primarily at totality or close to totality through all these towns, cities named Salem in the United States, which of course we know means peace. And so they're saying, well, here we are, 7 years of peace, and now what? They're going to be crossing over, the totality will be crossing over many towns, cities named Nineveh. And with some like Jonah-esque connections as well, I've seen. Some I think it's fair to say are a stretch. Some are just factual, and that's okay, need to be considered. You've got people talking about the red heifer. There is a part and piece of CERN getting a reboot. You have to be careful because people are like, you know, they're opening the portal that day and all these things. I believe in all those things that are true about what man is trying to do to exalt himself and like make a crossing over into a realm that is kind of supposed to be divided. We know that in the days of Noah, things will be that way when Yeshua returns. And just, I don't have a problem saying and admitting and agreeing with the fact that, well, there was a whole lot of mixing with the human race, and there was a whole lot of spiritual and natural being overlapped in a way that was not according to Yahweh's order. So I'm fine with talking about those things, but we also have to be careful that we don't just elaborate to such a crazy extent just for people's attention and emotion and like, oh, dread, or I know and you know, and you know, one person knows on a hidden video site buried in the internet, and you've got to, you know, watch this video. We, of course, here have the U.S. presidential race that is coming soon. And, you know, somehow the whole world and biblical prophecy somehow is always hinging upon politics in the United States and this little molecular nation that is in infantile stages. But somehow the whole Bible prophecy is surrounded by American happenings, goings on in the governments of this nation, which is just silliness, and we'll move on quickly. The goings on with the state of Israel, of course, you still have this ongoing war that I don't believe is anything we're being told. And it's somewhat, I'm not going to say it's insignificant, but it's not what we're being told. The state of Israel and like the people, the nation of Israel are not one and the same. And so without that understanding, it gets real muddy, and people can just wave their Israeli flags, say they stand with Israel and send donations over there and believe they're fulfilling biblical prophecy. But that's for over here also. The horned devil comet. Now, you know, some people are really getting worked up on this one because maybe with a good pair of binoculars, when the totality of the eclipse crosses over, you might get a glimpse of the devil horned comet. And, you know, it's going to hit the earth and it's going to wipe out, you know, certain states, and or it's going to create a tsunami and, you know, take out California because they're the evil, bad people. And like, again, I don't know what's going to happen any more than you do, but I don't cringe anymore, but I'm still like, okay, y'all, easy with the horned devil comet, you know, wiping out the really naughty people that are your enemies because you watch Fox News. You know, let's be careful with how we hold these things. Now, here, this is more personal in my life. Now, the NCAA basketball championship is the night of the eclipse. Now, if anything's going to happen, don't spoil the basketball game, right? So what then? What then do we do? And we're going to get to the heart of this matter here, real hot and heavy here. And we have to segue like this, because no matter where you live, we live out in the country, excuse me, out in the country, but of course we go to the city, you know, to shop, and I go to work and this and that and the other in those areas. We travel a tiny bit to visit, friends, and, we see these .gov billboards that are on the interstate saying what? Eclipse 2024, prepare now. And like, this emergency preparedness stuff, schools letting out, you know, all these warnings, be careful, you know, cell towers may go down. There may be a solar flare and like all these things. And so they're telling us to prepare, but I'm like, well, prepare for what now? And so this is going to be our first point, because again, we're going to have two things that I'm just suggesting, I'm just putting out there. I believe that we must do now to prepare, okay? Because here on my watch, it's less than a week away when I'm recording this. So our first point will be very, very brief by comparison. I could speak volumes towards it, but I don't want to do that because there's the second point is of much more value. So the first point, what do we do now? Okay, as we talk about this eclipse 2024 and what I titled, which will matter in point number two, the prophetic heavens declare. Okay, so to our first point, which is more natural, be discerning. Okay, it's spiritual, yes, but it's more according to natural circumstances, I guess, is a good way to put it. Be a discerning people. Now, government, this is my opinion. Not everyone agrees with this. People think there's a good side to our government. I believe they all swim in the same pool, but many people don't believe that. It's good dog, bad dog, duking it out for, you know, justice and fairness and liberty. So you pick a team and you fight and you duke it out to death, and you know that's how they designed it. It works flawlessly to divide people. But one thing I have become personally convinced again over the last 20 years is that governments of men love, the history shows this, they love these type of events. They love to use them to institute predetermined agendas to incite chaos and fear into the public, okay? And so we see this infiltrate the body. The body is very postured to fall prey to these things as well, which is why I'm taking 30 minutes to talk about it today. For any, you know, 10, 20 people who will actually listen to the end and like, maybe those are some points to consider. Governments of men, they love to use these types of events to institute agendas they've already come up with, planned out, and like this is the perfect time to institute plan L, you know, like step number two of plan B, okay? We're way past plan B. But the whole point is to what? Manipulate you and me, the majority masses to basically concede to what they deliver to us. And so, you know, you can't institute a solution until you first establish a problem. And so that is what they do very well. They're paid billions of dollars to do it, and it's a pretty well-oiled machine. But anyone with any sense knows that the eclipse itself is what? It's just merely a sign in the heavens. I'm convinced that we're trying to alter the heavens. That may thrust me into crazy land, but it doesn't take us far to get there if we were going to talk about it, which we're not today. But I believe as of right now, the best I can tell, the heavens are still operating in the way that Yahweh spoke them into existence and creation. I see nothing that has changed that thus far, even though we know that the enemy desires to change, alter times and seasons. That's a Bible verse that is okay to say, and that even itself is a whole day's worth of discussion. But to those who back to our point of point one of this discernment, be discerning. Those who pull the puppetry strings of the masses always utilize events that kind of cover everyone, these all-inclusive events like this eclipse that's coming up next week, to insert their plans and their agendas. Most will fall prey and take the bait. It's in media, it's in movies, it's in the propaganda news, which is all of it. But friend, I'm just going to say, don't do it. You know, don't make that your steady diet so that it is what we are what we eat. Okay. If you are continually ingesting this nonsense, it will literally become part of who you are. And what you believe, what you think towards, what you expect, and most importantly, how you respond to what is delivered to you. Don't do it. Don't allow your eyes to follow these distractions. I would suggest this is a good time to pray more, to fast, deny ourselves, like be sure our spiritual man is alert, aware, and like ready to get in the game, okay? Make a habit of asking wisdom what she is saying. Proverbs gives us endless accounts and other places in the scriptures, of course, as well, to go to her house and make her home your abode and listen to what wisdom is saying. And be careful because Lady Folly is boisterous and calling out from the streets saying, come on over here. I've got plenty to say. I've got plenty here to talk to you about. But peer deeper into matters, below the surface. I say question everything. Question everything you hear, friend. And this is why the word matters. This is why we have to know it in increasing measure. And if we don't know it, like myself, I'm still very ignorant. I go to it first. Well, what does the word say about these types of things? I want to know the counsel of my Elohim before everything else and above everything else I hear. Lastly, to part number one, be alert to the agenda that wants to cause you to respond in a natural and carnal way. Fear, desperation, help me, help me, help me, you know, bring me a solution. You know, this is an antichrist spirit if we want to get real, you know, wordy about it. This is something that incites fear and then presses you to be dependent upon, in this case, men or governments instead of Yahweh Elohim to be your provider, your sustainer, your deliverer, your source, okay? Be alert to those things. Don't respond naturally and carnally. Make some plans and accommodations. Yes, that's fine. We've done that here for years. That's okay. This is not a prepper channel, but of course that is a wise thing to do in this age period. It makes sense, okay? Most importantly, take your thoughts captive. All of them. All of them, okay? Don't pick and choose what you submit to Yeshua. The word says you take them all. Let him sort it out and tell you what to dwell on, meditate on. We're told by David and so many other authors to meditate on the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. I set my mind, I set my thoughts, I set my imaginations. I meditate all the day long upon the statutes and ordinances and Torah law of my Father. That is a set apart man. That is a preserved man. As we talk about a lot when we did the Shamir series, I have said since then, going back to when that first kind of came and settled in me, a man who Shamir keeps Yahweh's commands is Shamir kept by Yahweh. A man who keeps is kept. Okay, moving on. Think on what matters and be humble enough to acknowledge that all of us, you included, friend, can be distracted and deceived. We can all be deceived and distracted from the truth. The first evidence that deception is working in any of our lives is when we believe that we are incapable of being led astray. Think about that before you start to gorge on all this information, whether it's called Christian and prophetic, and they use Bible verses and revelation and prophecies of Daniel, and they have calculators and all these fancy images, and oh, look at the timetable and the timeline, and they've got it all figured out. Friend, just chill. What's the Spirit saying? Like, for real, what's wisdom saying? What does the word teach us? Now, secondly, we're moving quickly to the second point. This is the larger and by far most important part of the Eclipse 2024. The prophetic heavens declare two things that we must do, that we must be tending to here. Psalm chapter 19 tells us this, quote, the heavens declare the glory of Elohim, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So to highlight my second point here, the heavens are very active in Father's working upon the earth. Okay? They're very active. What do they do? We'll quickly go through what we just read in bullet points. They declare. Okay? The heavens declare. The heavens speak. They pour out speech. They reveal. What do they reveal? They reveal knowledge. And they have a voice, okay? Their words, their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and then they speak words from that voice, okay, to the ends of the world. I think that it's safe to say, to the reason I titled this, it's safe to say that they fulfilled the biblical role of a prophet. I've never thought of that until I looked at this morning. They, the heavens, the Shemayim, okay, if we know anything about creation, the waters above, the waters below, the expanse between land and sky, the heavens, I don't mind saying it anymore at all. I don't extrapolate on this, but My present cosmology is biblical-based to the utmost. I don't believe in quadrillion galaxies where Yahweh is so distant he's just out in some beautiful nebula that NASA creates on a computer and shows me a picture of. I believe he's near to his creation, which is what the word talks about it, and that the earth is a fixed, is in a fixed, immovable position. Quote. And in light of that, the heavens, which are right above us, the heavens, okay, they are declaring all these things. They declare, they speak, they reveal, they have a voice, they speak words. Okay? I think it's safe to say, without getting all crazy out there, they speak and fulfill the biblical role of a prophet. I would insert that this is why cosmology matters. People say it doesn't matter. Who cares? Jesus is king. These things matter, friend, when we want to go beyond kindergarten Sunday school and we want to literally govern our lives according to the word, then they do matter. So do they matter? Well, no, not if you don't want to govern your whole life around the scriptures, but if you want to live according to how Yahweh says everything is and what it is not, yes, it matters greatly. So if our understanding of what the heavens and earth even are is lacking a scriptural approach and lacking a biblical foundation, we will have trouble understanding the signs in the heavens. We will have trouble rightly understanding their function, what they are, what they're doing, and why. Because it's a different presentation than what the Bible says. So when we allow the word alone to develop and define our entire belief system, everything, including cosmology, the Shemayim, heavens, and the earth, the fixed earth, we begin to see Father's workings and intentions much more clearly. I'm learning this firsthand, okay? Our family, personal testimony, our family is only just barely now over a year in truly, truly watching the heavens. I would like to say daily, but we're not quite there yet. We're pretty close. We literally schedule our lives now, literally, according to the signs of the heavens, literally. When we work, when we keep memorialized the weekly Sabbath, our days, our months, our years, homeschool, gatherings with other believers in a more formal way. Now, why do we do this? Are we just trying? Well, the Bible isn't a science book. Well, the Torah informs us to answer this question of Father's timepieces, okay? All the way back to creation, Genesis chapter 1. Now, we just read Genesis chapter 1. Of course, here is the heaven and the earth, and then there's man, and then there's birds, and then there's... And we just read it like it's some, you know, felt board in a Sunday school class. But if we read it and we study it like we would study a science book, this is telling us very specific things in the natural world realm that we live within. And the whole word is full of it. We talked about that in a recent episode in very, very small measure. We read this in Genesis chapter 1 to our point. It's not just about our opinion. Elohim said, quote, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for what? Signs." Signs, that's, I believe it's Ot, which is circumcision, rainbow. It's covenant language. And for number two, they are to be, the luminaries are to be for seasons, which we have talked about for years here on the program when I first started coming into the understanding of the Moedim, Father's appointed times, his festivals, feast days, appointment meetings with his set apart people. And so continuing on, they are also the lights in the expanse for days and for years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made the two great lights, the sun and the moon, in case there's any confusion here, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, the moon, and the stars. Okay, so we have these three primary components in the heavens, in the Shemayim, to literally be the timepieces of every single thing Yahweh does upon the earth. And friend, I'm just telling you, I went through my whole life ignorant of this until very, very recently. I'm 50 years old and I never heard about any of this stuff in church. Nothing. I mean, nothing at all about this. You don't question what you're taught. Well, now you question the Big Bang theory, but the results of the Big Bang are somehow believed and embraced, but we just got there a different way. God just spoke it and it all happened. But even though the fruit of the Big Bang that science has told us is identical to what we say God did instead, even though it disagrees with the word of Elohim, which is good for us to examine and say, well, is that true? Is what he's saying true? Because we know that these lights, because, okay, here's a quick 10-second sidebar. I saw a discussion the other day in a Christian Facebook group. They were talking about, someone was asking questions about the moon specifically. And people were saying, well, we know the moon is a giant rock orb sphere. We know that from NASA and from science and from astronauts and from all these super telescope pictures. We know it's a mere reflector. It cannot produce its own light. It's incapable. We know that now. All I'm saying is my Bible says that it is a light in the exact same way that the sun is a light. So this is, I engaged in this part of the conversation. Most of those I do not. It's not very fruitful. I said, the Bible says in Genesis, Yahweh created two great lights, okay? The sun and the moon. Both are defined exactly the same. So in my book, I don't much care that science has taught us better than the Bible to say it's a mere reflector of a giant rock in the sky. My Bible says it is a light equal to the sun. It gives its own light, period. Close the book. I don't care much about anything else. Now, this goes back to our recent two-part series about what we know better now. Science has proven that the Bible just, those biblical authors just didn't understand. So when they said light, what they really meant was it's a reflection of light, but they didn't understand like we do. So what we're saying when we do that is we're saying Moses or whoever you believe that penned the Torah in the creation account, he didn't understand what Yahweh was saying, or Yahweh wasn't clear. And friends, those are two very, very risky things for us to endeavor to embrace. So getting back to our point, why this eclipse then? If we are told in Genesis chapter 1 that specifically to our point, the sun and the moon are to separate, of course, the day and the night, and they're for seasons, and they're for signs, and they're for days, and they are for years, why this eclipse then, as we bring this to a conclusion? Why then? Why this eclipse? I would submit the overreaching umbrella issue and reason is to get all of creation's attention, okay? Especially those who are within this path of totality. It's already on the minds of the world, just in news because of our overindulgence of media and nothing is hidden anymore. Why though? Why? We have to scale back from all this stuff and look at the word of Elohim and remember they're for sign. These two luminaries are for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. They're Yahweh's timepieces. So Father, what are you saying in your timepieces in the heavens? Your prophetic heavens, what are they declaring? We have to do this. The majority have absolutely no clue what Yahweh instated at creation. The majority of believers, people, we're so ignorant. No one has taught us these things. Father's Moedim, his appointed times, okay? We don't understand. Father gave us timepieces in the heavens, and we are told to lift our eyes and to watch and to learn patterns. Patterns in the stars for spring. I've learned moon phases, certain places in the sky within the constellations, certain seasons of every year. Every lunar cycle has a different pattern in place. We know waxing and waning, of course. What do? They set a timepiece, a timetable, a clock, if you will, for Yahweh's people, for whoever is willing to take his word literally and live according to it. I think we should do that. For thousands of years now, men long before us learned and passed on the understanding of how to govern time. Okay? The heavens. They literally watched the heavens. They literally listened, I would say, to the speech that the luminaries were proclaiming. They simply believed what the Torah stated in Genesis chapter 1. The heavens are declaring in Psalm 19. They believed that. I believe they understood it to be literal, not just metaphorical, you know, poetry in prose, like we would say, oh, it's just beautiful poetry. I believe they lived their lives according to it. They believe the heavens are declaring. They are speaking. Their speech pours out day to day and night to night. So let's in absolute conclusion, let's bring this eclipse 2024 here in a mere days through this lens and through this filter of what I'm presenting here, especially at the end. What if this is a part and a piece? I'm saying it is, but it's for your consideration to agree or disagree. What if this is a time to say, Father, I remember you, Yahweh, the creator of all of this stuff that we don't even hardly understand. You said, what I'm seeing in this eclipse 2024 is declaring something. It's pouring out speech. It's revealing knowledge. Okay? So, yes, we will be turning our eyes to heaven, to the heavens next week, a little more maybe precise than normal. Not so much here in our home, but, you know, not just because a few hours or because just for a few hours or because NASA and the local news told us that we should. We already do that. We're already watching the heavens and believing that they are his signs and his seasons and his appointed timepieces. They're declaring something, friend. They're speaking. They're revealing knowledge. And on April the 8th, 2024, and forever. Forever. Okay. Father's wonderful lights in the heavens. Do you know of them? Do you know of what I'm presenting? I hope you do. And if you do, let's all rejoice together that Father gave us such an incredible spectacle that is his heavens. They don't have to be quadrillion galaxies away to be incredibly awesome. Father is near. He's right here. He's close to his creation. He's intimate. So, these are for signs, for seasons, the Moedim, for days, and for years. So, for this eclipse 2024, I believe the prophetic heavens declare, and that is the primary focus out of these two things that we must do to prepare rightly for what will take place here in our lifetime. So, take it for what you will. If you want to swing out and, you know, move into Apocalypse 2024, that's fine. We all have the freedom to do what we desire to do. But please at least consider primarily the understanding that the word of Elohim has told us what is and what is not. And it is sufficient for me. I hope it is for you as well, friend. You're watching the Path to Zion podcast. We are rediscovering the ancient way. Join the boat of sending in an email to us, pathtozionpodcast@gmail.com. We love correspondence with y'all. Thank you so much for watching. Amen.